Let's get into the Sunday school lesson. It's a part one and part two sermon this morning for the Sunday school and the AM part. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is a strange thing. I am King James Bible, probably more than just about anybody. There's other people out there that believe that 1 Corinthians 13:10 is the King James Bible. So I'm not the only one, believe me. But I'm very strong in the King James Bible. When we go to Salina, I want to uplift the King James Bible. I don't want to uplift Paul, and I don't want to just uplift the risen Savior. I want these guys to put the book above everything, like we've done, like we've tried to do here, and I think God will honor His words. But then again, I've also come to realize that Satan will fight them, and he will do everything he can, through anybody he can, to destroy the rightly divided King James Bible, which is the only Bible that presents the risen Savior the way he needs to be presented. In this day and age, that's not much of an increase of a place. That's the struggle we've had. We've stood in this book, we've magnified it above his name, and I believe the devil has had his hands in here. I know who he's had his hands through, and it's almost not fightable. And I think he's about to put the nail on this place in a couple of weeks. If you as a church body don't step up to the plate and deal with it. I don't want to see the place closed. I have no desire to see this place shut down. There's no reason. I could talk about it now, but I should save it for tonight. There's no reason for this place to close. Not after 13 years of what we've done. Not after 7 years of Paul and rightly divided King James. But there's no reason for this church to close. So I'm almost disappointed that that's like one of the first responses that I've heard. Well, we'll just have to let the church close. And I understand why people are, I'm doing this tonight, this morning. I should wait for tonight. But I understand why you think that. and it isn't me personally hoping to don't close, so the support that was promised me still comes in. Because see, you folks will be paying my rent, our rent. And that's a really nice thing to have paid for, I'll tell you. But it doesn't have to close. I'm afraid that it could, but it doesn't have to. There's no reason for it to close. And there's no reason for you to go backwards in the way it was 8, 9, 10 years ago. There's no reason in the world would you ever dare give this place back to a Ruckman kind of a pastor. I just hope you don't do that. I don't care how friendly or family or past it's been. That would be a serious blow to me just to know that you did that. But there's something headed your way. I'll warn you about it tonight if you let me. And if I can, as far as who's out here tonight. Okay, enough of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I know why I said any of that stuff. I'm talking about I'm so King James. I really believe the King James is the Word of God. Every word is pure. We understand how to rightly divide it. Not one of us in here is innocent of the faults of Christianity. Not one of us in here has stopped sinning. I think a lot of sinning has been cut back because you've grown as a Christian and you realize that what Christ has really done for you, and that's encouraged you to stop some things. But nobody in here has stopped sinning. But if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, sin is no longer an issue. Christ has taken care of that. The only reason I can say that is because of that King James Bible. So I'm very strong on when we tell people something, we tell them the Scriptures. When you teach your kids things, you show them the Scriptures, and you teach them the Scriptures. I have to say this again for our late folks. Doing something tonight that it's so important, Dave, if just Dave, because you've got the goats going on, if you can make it back tonight, I don't know what your plans are. If you can make it back tonight, I'm going to talk about what we're doing and a warning I have for the church and some thoughts I have. It's kind of my departure message a week early because I can't do it next week.
I know that.
I'll do it tonight. So I wish the whole family would be here tonight. But I realize what goes on in people's lives and homes. So I'm very strong in the fact that we witness to people. We give them the King. We give them the Scriptures. That's the part. That's the gospel of their salvation. It's the word of truth. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. Now this is in the Bible. So I believe this is from God, without a doubt. But when Paul's talking here, defraud not one another and the wife, that kind of thing. pretty detailed little chapter here about marriage and relationships. He says, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. And we're not going to talk about the chapter itself. It looks like it says, well, by the way, I'm going to tell you this because this is what I believe as a Paul. I've got permission. It's okay for me to tell you this. But it's like, but and not of commandments. This is not a required commandment from God as such. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like he's saying, this part right here isn't quite Bible, but it's what I think. It's kind of how I first read that. But then if you look at the last verse, where Paul says, he gets done with all the things he talks about with husbands and wives and divorce and remarriage, and even down in 36 and 37, his virgin and I don't dare talk about that. That's a very, very difficult series of verses, 34, 35, 36, and 37, and 38. But if it's what I believe it is, it's hugely not heard of. I'm still looking at that thing. But what I want you to see, so we're not going to talk about that chapter. I want you to see verse 40, the last part. He gets all done with this talk where he says, listen, I speak this by permission and not of commandment. Like, it's not of God, but I'm telling you this. And he says in verse 40, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Now, to me, that says what he just got done saying by permission just told us that that was still from God. You see my point? Listen, there are still some verses in there I don't understand. Okay, I want you to know that. I don't think they're deep. I just don't think I've been able to see them yet. I really believe you don't have to go deep to understand Paul. So there's still some things that we have yet to learn and look at. I really believe 35, 36, 37, I really believe I know what it is. I just don't know how to say it in this day and age. So if you get a chance over this week, go ahead and pick through those verses. But anyway, I want you to see that Paul said something that he says, I just got permission to say this. It's not a commandment. And then he teaches something that's very, very, very important. At the very end, he says, hey, I think I got the Spirit of God. So what he said would still be right. That's my point. Okay. Now, the sermon this morning is called In Your Own Words. And what have you learned in your Bible and in your teachings here at the church? Hang on. What have you learned that you can tell somebody else? And the first thing people fear is the fact, man, I can't remember, I can't quote scriptures. And I realize that the scriptures is the Word of God, and that's the power of God is through the scriptures. So, yes, I'm not going to deny any of that. But we're going to go through some topics this morning that, how would you explain those in your own words? You don't have your Bible with you. You're sitting outside a little patio deck with a little campfire thing in front of you, and you haven't got your Bible, and you have a lousy memory and all that stuff. How would you tell somebody what you've learned regarding Paul and the risen Savior? How would you tell it to them? Can you do that? I know I've heard frustrations, for example, modesty. Why does the subject of modesty have to be so difficult today? And we want to see the scriptures. Of course we want to see the scriptures. I want you to know the scriptures behind what you're telling people. No doubt whatsoever. But why is it so difficult to tell a little girl or a young girl or a boy, whatever, about modesty? Why is that so hard? How would you explain modesty in your own words? And using scriptural truth. How could you explain it to them so they, A, don't get mad at you, B, they don't get mad at God, C, they don't hate the Bible? No, you're just telling them a fact. And this is how it is. And this is what you... So, that one I won't talk about. Because you'd get kind of specific. I'm not going to talk about the modesty. The loud thing, I could talk about that. But we will later on in another subject. Just physical, visual modesty. It seems to me that most Christians today, even the Bible believer crowd, even us in here, are afraid to make our children learn from the start to be covered up. We're afraid of that. You know what it is? I think we're afraid of our kids. I think we're afraid we're going to lose our kids. And I think we're already recognizing that as much as we've tried to bend over backwards and help them with this and help them do that, have you noticed that we're losing them anyway? So, see, I want to say, Paul had some words that he had to say, and he said at the very end, hey, I believe this was from God. And when you talk to people, you may not be giving them scripture, but you're giving them the truth in your own words, and it can still be of God because it's truth. Don't use that to say that NIV Bible is still the Word of God then, because it is not. It is not the Word of truth. I'm just saying, in your own general conversation, how do you talk to people about stuff? How do you talk to your girls and your boys and your grandkids and stuff about modesty, if you need to? If it's not the case, it's not even your business. But it is when it's in your home or whatever. Or on your boat or whatever, you know. How do you tell them? Why is this so hard? I've been thinking about that. Why is some of this stuff so hard to talk about? For example, rightly dividing. You want to talk to somebody about rightly dividing, it kind of pops up in this conversation somewhere, and you're just someplace, and like I say, you haven't got your Bible, you haven't got your pastor there, you haven't got anybody there to help you. Rightly dividing. Well, how would you do? Now, see, if I was really what I was years ago, I'd say, well, LD, why don't you stand up and tell us how you would explain rightly dividing? And nobody would come back. They wouldn't stay for the AM service because you'd get so panicky about that stuff. And I understand that totally. You know, I told you there's a pastor down in Ohio, actually, that has done that and does that. Then there's also a pastor down in Texas who goes through his families one at a time, once a year, in church, makes the family stand up, and then preaches to them for about 5 minutes what he's learned from them and what they need to do for the next year. And from what I understand, you got to be pretty tough. Now, you want me to do that? Are you kidding? I get berated. I get knocked off the track just preaching a sermon where somebody thinks they were crosshaired and they were put in the little things. I don't know what to preach anymore because we're all going to get hit. So that's kind of, I guess that's what he says, and we won't endure sound doctrine. I guess that's where we're at. So when you're talking to somebody, rightly dividing. Well, for what it's worth, I would tell people, you already rightly divide. Aren't you Old Testament and New Testament? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are. In fact, it'd be kind of fun to have somebody come up here and just say, let's just talk. I hate role-playing stuff in school, though. Aren't you? You're lucky to be homeschooled because you don't do this at home, I don't think. Where you just have to sit. Okay, you come up here and you're this and you're this and you're this and you're this and you're the bad guy, you're the good guy and all that stuff. I don't want to be the bad guy because I believe in this. And you got to play this role-playing stuff. I had to do that as a teacher negotiator. I had to pretend I was talking to the superintendent. And I had to be mean and all that kind of junk. I said, this isn't real. I can't play the game. So Lewis, rightly dividing. You understand the Bible's Old Testament and New Testament? Well, yeah, I do. Matter of fact, that's good. Did you realize or do you know that in Hebrews, the Bible says that the New Testament doctrine really doesn't begin until the death of the test? Did you know that? Well, no, I didn't know that. Yeah, the new doctrine doesn't take over until after Jesus died. But that makes sense because during the gospel times, he was still having to walk the law, so that was Old Testament. Well, you know, I never thought about that. That makes good sense. Well, not only that, do you know what Jesus told everybody, what the Jews to go do? He told them to go out and preach the whole nation, baptize, da-da-da-da. Yeah, he did. He told them to do that. But did you know that it was accomplished? It was fulfilled? It was done? It was. Yes, it was, matter of fact. In fact, did you know that it says there at the end of Mark that all these things are supposed to be followed with? Now, you can't do this to the Pentecostal because they're going to think, yeah, we got it. But the end of those things is supposed to be followed with signs and miracles and works and healings and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, I've heard that. And I see a lot of that on TV at night and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but did you know that when they killed Stephen? You know they killed Stephen, right? See, we got a problem here. Is we're talking to somebody that you were assuming knows the Bible a little bit. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not, but I witnessed to a lady in Salina, a restaurant lady, what do they call them, waitresses. Not a restaurant lady, but a waitress. And I was going to go to an easy one. Moses crossing the Red Sea, did I tell you this? and she didn't know who, what. What are you talking about? You're really having a hard time when you can't talk to people about Moses. First, I thought right away, you know the joke about who wrote the book of Moses, one of those kind of things, you know. And I'm thinking, did I say something wrong here because she doesn't know what I'm talking about here? So this is difficult when you're talking to somebody who doesn't have Bible. And I'm telling you, there are so many church-going people that know nothing about their Bible. So you just, well, yeah, the Bible tells us that the Great Commission is called the Great Commission, and then they killed the preacher. Can you imagine such a thing? Oh, I can't imagine anybody ever trying to take down a preacher. They're such good people. and he went to a guy named Paul. And Paul was probably the meanest guy in the world towards Christians. He was killing them, persecuting them, and the whole thing. He was. Yes, he was. And risen Savior went to him and said, you're going to go out to the Gentiles because my own people rejected me and they're rejecting my offer again. And you're going to go to the Gentiles. And see, that's the stuff that we're supposed to be reading. Really? Yeah, it says right there, follow Paul as he follows Christ. And you get done with that thing and you got the rapture and then you get into the Hebrew stuff. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, how would you do to tell some people about rightly dividing? Are you going to stumble? Or you're going to think, well, I can't talk about it now. I don't know how to talk about it. Could you do that? I would hope you could. Because you've come to realize, I think, over time, that this local church is not the place for lost people. Lost people are welcome here, but we're not designed to reach the lost. Acts chapter 2 is designed to reach the lost as such. But Paul's teachings in Ephesians chapter 4 is not designed to reach the lost. We're supposed to be fed. We're supposed to come in here and learn. So when you walk out that back door, you should have learned something from your Bible, not from my teachings. And hopefully after 7-8 years, you should be able to at least talk to somebody about rightly dividing. You have nothing to be ashamed about, right? Not ashamed of Jesus Christ. We know that one. But we also know we're not supposed to be ashamed of Paul either. So, could you do that? How about this one? How about, you can talk to people about God all day long. And we're going someplace where they do talk about God. I mean, it's a pretty big, it's a very concentrated Catholic area. But there's other folks there. I saw three of them. But two little kids and a lady. But there's other people there. And it doesn't matter. You can talk to Craig. You can talk to, matter of fact, we just got invited to a block party in our neighborhood. Now, you know me. It's in their house that we're renting. It's a pretty, as Jason calls it, it's a hoity-toity neighborhood. And so, going to move in there, and at least until we can keep the rent going and stay in there. And I've already got a golf appointment scheduled with my landlord's husband. I've already looked up a city band in Lima, a county-wide band, if I can get my lips back in shape. I don't know. So, to do stuff like that. So here I'm going to be at this block party. And, well, hi, what are you all doing here? Where are you from? What are you doing? What's going on? Where are you working? What are you doing? But I also know that a lot of questions they ask there is, what church are you going to? They ask that there. We actually heard that. It's pretty weird. Anybody ask that around here? You know what they say around here? You go to that Tushy church, don't you? That's all they say. So they'll talk about God. But we know, without being arrogant, I hope, that Paul talks about the unknown God. That these people don't know anything about God. They think that they can worship Him in idols, and they think that they can pray over the ashes. They think they can rub little beads and all this kind of stuff. But they really don't know that. They've been told that by somebody. You see, it's not in here. It's in the Apocrypha. But then you got a problem. We're out of the Bible again. And trying to talk to people who are their final authorities, the church and their priest, is pretty hard. You want to talk to them about the Bible being the final authority. Although most of the people that are not Catholics are now starting to teach people about their priest, who's their final authority. That's the Baptist pastor or the Alliance pastor. They're the people's final authority. Not a whole lot different than having a priest and a pope, is it? Really, when you think about it, everybody's letting somebody else be their final authority. So, have I become your final authority? Do you believe what I say because I'm the one that's up here saying it, and you see it in the Scriptures and you're fine and dandy with it? Can you say it back in your own words? God. What about God? Well, they worship an unknown God. You know that. And I really don't know how you'd bring it up but I guess you'd want to not attack the unknown God. Have you learned much about the living God? Do you know much about God? What do you know about God? Oh, I don't know very much, really. Just that we need to go there and pray and confess our sins and things. Well, do you know that there's a living God? I mean, we can worship a living God. We can have a living God. And we can know all about this God. And they would say, well, our God is living. Well, I know God is living, but what do you know about Him? How unknown is God to you? I guess I don't know much about Him. Well, you know, if you look to Paul's teachings in that King James Bible, you'll find out that you can learn all sorts of things about this living God, what He's done for you and what He's done to you. What has He done to me? And there you're in for spiritual circumcision. Can you explain spiritual circumcision? Can you explain the need for the gospel, the word of truth, which is King James Bible, the gospel of their salvation? How strong are you at telling somebody about the King James Bible? Would you be willing to say that is the word of truth? Would you be, you got to know your people you're talking to. You got to be careful. You don't want to just be the ruckman, blow it out and say things. And I'll say ruckman because that's what taught me to be that way. And I'm very strongly against it today. Very strongly against it. It has done a lot of damage. I've done my damage. It's still doing damage. Anyway. So, would you be willing to say to somebody, well, this is the word of truth? And this says something different. So how can both of these be the word of truth? And you know what they're going to think of in their mind? Are you saying I'm not saved? That comes up almost every time. Well, I don't know. Is that Bible the word of truth? Or somebody else who is a King James guy and they say, well, yeah, these other Bibles, they're bad, but I don't think that you can't get saved. Well, are they the word of truth? Well, no. Well, the word of truth is supposed to be the gospel of their salvation. So how can something that's not the word of truth be the gospel of their salvation? I don't know, but you still can get saved in any other kind of Bible. Isn't that weird how stubborn we can be? Okay, so you talk about the living God, and Paul talks about how to serve the living God. Everything you're going to find out in your conversation, hopefully, will take people to the books written by Paul. That's our goal. I'm not talking big. I'm not trying to say I could do this myself, because like I say, at this black party, is that the time to say something? I don't know. I don't want to get up there and preach right away. I don't want to keep my mouth shut either. I'll just be there. And it says hamburgers. I'm okay with that. I wonder what an Ohio hamburger is like. Probably going to have, we were just talking about this last night. We have to thank you folks for all the meat you've given us over all these years. We're trying to get rid of it as quickly as we can. But Lewis and Sue, and he gave us the sheep and the lamb and the cow and the Angus, all that stuff. And Bob out there and Kentridge, you've all brought food to us. And I don't want to forget anybody. You brought us any meat, LD? No, you didn't brought us any hamburgers. No. Turkey. That's right, turkeys every Christmas, every holiday. Yeah, turkeys. I've got the best naps once a year, every time after your turkeys. I get some of the best naps I've ever gotten. So anyway, living God or an unknown God? What about your kids? Are they grown up with an unknown God? Do they not know anything about God? Are they basing what they know about God about what they see in your life? Do they see folly? Do they see the fact that it's not real? Do they see us as parents saying amen or believing something in our readings and then going out and doing something different? Or doing it against it or whatever? And allowing what we allow and having fun doing it? Or talking about the things in the past and other people were to hear it? And does God get glory for that? Is He a living God? Does he like to hear things we talk about? I mean, do our kids learn these things? Or do they have an unknown God? Or the sad thing is to think that when they hear about the living God, they would not believe that that's who the living God is. Then what have they got to choose when they get older? No God. And a lot of them are going that way, which is sad. What about another one? How about that which is perfect? Now, that's not going to pop up in any conversation quite often. But if you get a chance to talk about it with another King James kind of a guy, King James, oh, I'm King James, I'm King. If I could get into this band and the trumpet guy sitting next to me, this other older guy. See, I'm not thrilled about the city band thing. Because when I was a kid in the city band, all the retired people get together with their instruments. See, now I'm going to do that. I was one of those kids in the city band back in South Dakota, where I made my $7 a month so I could afford to take you on a date once a week. I used the money for that. Remember that? I think it was $4 for the rehearsal and $3 for the concert. And I'd cash it and take her out on a date. That was back in those days. And city bands consist of mostly of older people. Now I'm going to go do this. Put the trumpet up, there it is. I remember I laughed at a guy one time. I've told you about that. Boy, it comes back and bites you. Life comes back and bites you. Just be as good as you can when you're little. Then they just might have a better older year. But that which is perfect. Well, all I can say to people is explain that you believe that that's the King James Bible. And if it's anything else, and they'll say that as well as Jesus coming, well, they'll say that it's us. Some people believe that it's us when we're perfect, when we die and become perfect, or the millennium when we're perfect. The only thing I can say to somebody is verse 8 still exists then. Verse 8 is that which is done in part, the three things that are done in part. Then that still exists. And we know that majority of the churches out there, more and more and more, they talk like that. It still exists. They still got the tongues. They still got God giving them stuff in their mind and in their hearts. God told me to do this, all this kind of stuff. And the Holy Spirit can lead us through scripture reading in our day-to-day life. I'm not going to deny that. But if you close your Bible, you're not going to learn anything from God. He's not going to teach you a thing. So it has to be the Bible. And if it's not, then verse 8 still exists. And we need to go find one of those churches at 10 o'clock at night where the ladies wear 15,000 pounds full of hair and the guy's got the microphone stuffed down his throat and all these people having a great time, because that's what Acts 1 through 8 is going on. So if that's the case, how about, so to keep that in mind, verse 8 is your bounce back. How about this one, the risen Savior versus the earthly Jesus. The risen Savior versus the earthly Jesus. When you talk to people about Jesus, what are you going to be talking about? Just about everybody's going to talk about the gospel, earthly Jesus. And there's a lot to talk about in it. It's pretty marvelous that he did what he did. I think a lot of modern Christians are going to be talking to somebody who's watched the movie The Passion of the Christ, and that's where they get their doctrine from. But beyond that, what's the difference? Well, you have to see, there's a risen Christ. He's risen. He's off the cross. Yes, we believe that. Yes. Okay. Well, then, wouldn't you want to study? Do you think that he would tell us anything differently than what he told to the Jews? Because remember, he said not to go to the Gentiles when he was down here. Okay. Then, well, yeah, but he did say to go to the Gentiles what he was teaching in the Great Commission. That's true. He was. But they're going to still go through the Jews. So, yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, he did. He gave him to the Jews, and the Jews are going to go out and tell the whole world. So yes, he did come to save the world, but the process was going to be through the Jews. Back in Genesis chapter 12, right? And by then you've lost the person you're talking to. So I didn't mean to get into that, but in your own words, is there a difference? Sure there's a difference. Well, you read about the risen Savior because he went to Paul, and he's taught us what he wants us to learn as a risen Savior. Because see, he paid the law. He paid the price. He paid the price. And so, he's got a different set of teachings for us. And they're more than what he taught to the Jews, matter of fact. In fact, he calls it the way of God, but it's more perfectly. There's more to it now. It's more finished. He lets us in on more. It's a more excellent way. But it has to be through Paul. He's our apostle. He is our only apostle. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. What about Peter? No, it says in the Bible there, Galatians, I think is what it was, you say to somebody, he was called the apostle to the circumcision. Circumcision is the Jews. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, and Paul was the apostle to the uncircumcision. Yeah, that's interesting. So there is a difference between the Jesus, earthly one, and the risen one. Matter of fact, there is a different one that will be dealing with people during the tribulation. And where's that at? Well, see, that's from Hebrews to Jude. I didn't know that. I think it was Jason was trying to talk to somebody like his guy. He's working for him. If I'm gone, the rapture comes, and the Christians are gone, then grab that King James Bible and start reading Hebrews to Jude. And the guy said, "That's stupid. I never heard that before." Well, I told him. So what would you say to somebody about Hebrews to Jude? Well, I'll tell you, the differences in Hebrews to Jude are different than what Paul preaches. And Paul tells us that if anybody preaches anything else, that be cursed. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. And that's going to be taught during the tribulation. And besides that, look at where it's at in the Bible. Well, yeah, it is at the end. Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, Novella had it kind of right to look at the back of the Bible for what we were supposed to be following today. Remember Novella at the Oddfellows? She just went to Revelation. Well, Revelation is, we'll get to that one in a minute, explain that sort of a thing. But tribulation. You've got Hebrews. You've got the loss of salvation. You've got taking the mark. You've got the law. You've got faith. Well, that's good. You'll be challenged with your faith. All sorts of things. You know, you got to confess your sins during the tribulation. Well, don't you have to confess your sins today? In your own words, how would you explain that? Well, no, because Christ paid for all of our sins, and He took care of sin, and nothing's imputed to us. And so, as a result of that, we have nothing to confess. So then, you can what? What do they say? So then, you can just go and do anything you want, and you just kind of go, God, why do they always ask this? You can say something like, you know, it's funny. Everybody always asks me that. And somebody even asked that to Paul, Romans chapter 6. And Paul's answer was, God forbid. But if you did, it wouldn't be imputed. Christ died for that. Then they're going to react one way or the other. They're going to go, that's stupid. Or they're going to think, boy, that's really the love of God. That He would love somebody that much. That He even pay for that kind of stuff. Well, yeah, his death was horrible. He took sin upon Him. He became the curse. I mean, it was cursed. Yeah. It's amazing stuff. Spiritual circumcision. Our flesh is cut away from our soul and our spirit. Really. Kind of weird. Well, I know it's weird, but think about it. How can Christ be in us? You believe Christ is in you, right? Well, yeah, that's what I've been told. How can He be in you if there's sin in you? Well, that's true. Then you tell them how they got it done, the Word of God. And Christ would have to leave it. He'd have to deny Himself to leave you. So you can't lose your salvation. You've got nothing to confess. And you know what? That's the only place in that Bible that tells you to obey your pastor with whatever he says. Do you know that I know of 1, 2, 3 families. And they haven't left out of anger. They moved away. And more than that. And if I'd have done my landmark Baptist pastoral stuff and said, you can't do that, God says no. I'm the pastor guy. You know how they have to go to the pastor for... What do you think? Should we move to such and such? And who's on there this morning? Okay. And they have all had disasters take place. Two of them have told me, oh, we should have listened to you. We shouldn't have gone. It's just been a disaster. And the third one is in the process of it. I'm not saying that because that's me. I'm saying the only place you get that authority is in Hebrews. So if you don't think your pastor is your final authority, then okay, but if you think your pastor is your final authority, I guarantee you the only place he'll take that is to Hebrews chapter 13. How'd you know that? See? I mean, we ought to be able to talk about this stuff and really, without being an idiot or a jerk or an arrogant blowhead or whatever, just be able to talk about it with people. You don't have to be flashing scriptures all the time. I'm not knocking scripture. Boy, I'm not knocking scripture at all. The only reason we can talk about it with people is because we've studied the scriptures. Right? Study to show thyself approved. Right? How are you going to show yourself approved? Well, one thing, your life's going to change. And the second thing is, you got to be able to talk to them about it. But then again, maybe your life hasn't changed any in these last 7, 8 years since we got into Paul, 6 or 7. I know some people whose visual testimony has not changed one iota. Their talk has changed. But when you see them as a family or as a person, it hasn't changed at all. Being judgmental? Haven't been around them that much lately. But what I've seen so far, I haven't seen a single thing be any different. See, we've got to be able to study to show thyself approved. You've got to be doing some little different things. I know that somebody who knows them told them, I'm not going to do anything if you're going to stand in front of me and tell me I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing while you're doing it. Do you follow me on that? I mean, you can't stand there having your fifth hamburger telling somebody you shouldn't have that fifth hamburger. How's that for an illustration? Does that keep me safe from being what I get accused of and all that stuff? You can't stand there. You can't be a 400-pound person and telling somebody about what he's eating is not good. So there has to be a change if we're going to have an effective testimony. By the way, where's that at, an effective testimony? Philemon, thought I'd just throw that at you. I'm not doing anything this morning other than talking about how we ought to be able to do this in our own words. I'm not very good at it. But I'll tell you this. I'm better than I was 6 years ago. I'm going to find out in about 3 weeks if I've learned anything, which has a lot to do with why we're leaving. I want to try to be the Christian I've told people to be. And here, they won't let me. I know that. They won't believe it. I've been trying. It's time to move on. What I want to try to be is the Christian I told you folks you need to be, with a Paul-following Bible. How am I going to do? I don't know. I have no idea. What about this question? Who is this Paul guy anyway? How would you answer that question in your own words? Who's this Paul guy? Now that we've got the young people here, now I can start picking on them a little bit. Sam, stand up. No, I won't do this to you. You're homeschooled. You're off the hook of that stuff. You never had to stand up in front of class and go to the board. Do you ever have to do that? You had to make them do that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Put 30 people behind you that hate you and tell them, go to the board. You know. Anyway. So who is this Paul guy? Well, this Paul guy, well, yeah, he was a guy that, he was part of the people that killed Stephen. Then the question you're going to get is what? Who's Stephen, right? Well, you tell him who Stephen was. Stephen was a preacher that was led of the Spirit, led of God, and he was telling the people that the Savior was going to come back if they would just change, repent and be baptized, etc. So they killed him. Killed him a horrible death. They stoned him. And then Paul was in there collecting all, he was the guy in charge of the coats in the coat room. What do you call that room? The coat room, the cloak room or something. He was keeping track of all that stuff. And he was walking to Damascus, I think it was, on the road to Damascus, right? How that goes? What's that? On a horse? Well, I don't know about that. Is he on a horse? I don't know. Let's check that out. He might have been in a Toyota, so I don't even know a horse. No, he fell to the earth, but I think the guy's just walking and just fell to the earth. What Bible you got? Yeah, he fell to the earth. Right? Have you ever fallen to the earth when walking? Oh, I do it way too often lately. And so he gets saved. But by the way, did you notice that he gets saved differently than we do today? So if we're going to follow Paul, why don't we get saved? Why don't we get one of those enlightenments on the highway where we're blinded? I'm glad we don't. But a lot of people say they got that. Oh, they were walking through Walmart the other day and they just had this voice speak to them. Ever hear stuff like that? I know Jason heard a couple at the fair booth, and we heard them at the fair booth. People come up, these ladies, and I have one man come up and tell me this. I had a number of ladies come up to me and tell me how God has done miracles in their lives. And I just want you to know what I wanted to say, lady, the devil uses ladies. With what you're talking about. What you're passing on to different people are lies. They're written by the devil. They're done by the devil. And I don't care if your uncle got healed or not. If it was done to a person, then that was from the devil. I did it to one lady. I guess I did do it to one lady. And all it did was give me a hamburger earlier because she left right away. But that's the truth. But that's not really how you got to get into this stuff. But you're going to run across it. We're going to run across it out there in Catholic land. Popeville. I'll tell you what, God has done. You go into those buildings, and they got crutches, and all these people, they walk in there, and they do the little thing, and they light the little candle for $3. So we need back there, a little candle you light, and give us $100. That'll get us over there. And they believe that we went in there, and there was a couple kneeling on this thing, and they were staring at this idol thing. And that really bothered me, Bunny Trail. It bothered me. I mean, you've got people out there believing different things, different Bibles, different churches, but to see somebody actually praying to a statue, is really hard to do. I wanted to go up and go, excuse me, can I teach you something about, you can't really do that. Why can't you do that? Well, you just can't do that. It's a tough battle you go through to see that. It's tough. They might have been praying for their son who was killed 10 years ago. And there's as serious as can be. It's a tough nut to crack, if it's crackable at all. So this Paul guy, well, yeah, he's the Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, met him on that road and got him to go out to be one, teach all the Gentiles. And he's the apostle, blah, blah. You go through all those things about who this Paul guy is. Yeah. Could you tell people who Paul is? Would you hesitate? How about the testimony of the Lord? Because it says there, you're not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of Paul. We've got a break. It's 10:17. We'll take a break for a couple minutes and we'll continue this little spiel. In your own words.